This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, N.M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club. Mystery.
Jesse and the Jewel Thieves.
Jesse and the Jewel Thieves is what we read this week. We're just diving in, huh? Okay, let's do the recap.
No, even I don't want to dive in quite that deep, quite that quickly.
Okay. That's just something. It sounded like you were ready to just kind of go in raw. You're ready to raw dog this one.
That was a greeting. Jesse and the Jewel Thieves to you, Tanner.
Jesse and the Jewel Thieves to you, Jack.
What's new, man? Like, tell me about yourself. We haven't caught up in a while.
Living in New York. Mm-hmm. Now, working at a major media company now.
Mm-hmm.
Wife is 8 months pregnant.
Whew.
Actually, there's a chance, Baby Nation, that by the time you're hearing this episode, I will be a papa because we're doing a little bit of pre-pro.
To a small human boy. I jumped the gun. I didn't want to break the news. It is a small human boy, isn't it?
Human boy.
Yes. Okay, good.
As far as the sonograms have revealed so far.
Yeah. They're agreed on all three of those modifiers.
Oh, it's not. No.
Yeah.
In fact, the first one, they're pretty worried because it seems like he's got a pretty big head.
Okay.
And it seems like he's going to be a pretty big boy.
Just like his papa. That's lovely.
What else? What about you? What are you up to? How's your boy?
I got a small human boy as well.
Maybe someday we can fight them.
I would like that. My one's going to have a real edge in terms of the years of training that I've put in.
Yeah, but mine's going to have like just kind of raw mass.
That green ring scrappiness.
Yeah.
Good. That'll be great. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
We read a book this week.
We read a book
mystery
this week.
Book.
A mystery book. I'd like to introduce the show if that's what we're gonna do.
Unless you want to chit chat more.
No, I thought that was good. We've
How's
agreed
Austin?
That
getting hot.
Your boy has a big head, and we're gonna fight our boys.
Yeah.
What else could we possibly want to talk about other than Jesse and the Jewel Thieves?
Yeah.
Do we say hi on this one, or do we say something mysterious? I can't remember.
Ahoy, ahoy.
It's not that mysterious. That sounds like a pirate.
Okay.
Avast!
Hello, hello.
Hark! That's pretty good. You know what they say at the beginning of Beowulf? What?
We'll spell it.
What? Well, it's like an ash.
Like a tree?
No, the first letter.
Ash Ketchum?
No. What? Way Gardena. Attend or listen, we the Spear Danes.
Oh.
But that's not quite right for us. What did I say before that was good?
Hark.
Hark. That's kind of gothic.
Hark, ye nation of babies, and listen to our tale.
There we go. Okay. Hark, ye nation of babies, and listen to our tale.
I am your narrator, Tanner Greenring.
And I am, damn it, a mysterious entity
baby
named Jack Shepherd.
Yep.
I
am the voice in the darkness, Tanner Greenring.
I am the echo in your mind, Jack Shepherd.
That's good. We can just do that every week.
That sounds great. It'll be easy to remember. This is a podcast called The Babysitter's Club
Mystery
Club.
Whew. Oh, I say the
say
second club,
you say
too.
It with me at the end. Oh, God.
On this one,
hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. We talk about the Babysitter's Club mysteries by the great mystery herself, Anne Matthews Martin. Yeah.
It just feels so empty, you know?
What do you mean? Who else has anything before their name?
Well, Ellen, we call Ellen Smiles for Miles on Miles.
Yeah, and I guess I called myself a mysterious entity.
Right, and I called myself a voice in the darkness.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she's a great mystery. We know nothing about her. We know literally nothing about her. What else do you want to call her?
The black box.
She's a mystery. The black box.
The enigma.
The riddle master. and Matthews Martin. This week, we read and are going to discuss a novel called Jesse and the Jewel Thieves.
Mm. I read it.
Yeah, I read it by Smiles for Miles.
Ellen Miles. With...
No frowns, no downs this time. Maybe a little bit of sadness with Jesse kind of... Well, Becca being a brat and Jesse kind of trying to maybe break things off with Quint or slow things down. No, it wasn't very sad this week.
Also, cover art by your and my favorite, Babysitter's Club, art director.
The enigmatic Dan
Brown. Author of The Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown.
And Angels and Demons.
Yep.
Mystery
Inferno.
Nation. Tanner and I, in the early days of knowing each other, back in 2008, were in a, I guess it was ironic, but we were in it. I mean, like at some point it doesn't matter. We were in a Dan Brown book club.
And we did sincerely read every Dan Brown book to that point and sincerely go to a bar that is now closed in Chinatown called Tropical 167.
We would order like literally a thing that's called a tower of Blue Moon.
Yeah. and sincerely discuss these novels.
Dan Brown's inflection
we had like
point.
We had like a guide and everything that we downloaded from the internet.
Love what you love. If you enjoy the books, that's great. More power to you. I did not. But I love his work on these novels. This week, he painted a thing that I think is not in the book.
Which maybe he's taken a page from the Hodges Wallieu playbook.
Yeah, he obviously doesn't want to deviate too far from what Hodges does. His illustration style is very different from Hodges.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's less detailed, and he's bad at making people look like people.
Yeah, so the picture, the cover of this novel that Dan has drawn, it shows Jesse and Quint. You think that's too...
You guys are so close.
Okay. The cover of this novel that Mr. Brown has drawn shows Jesse and Quint.
That's not Jesse.
You don't think that's Jesse?
Absolutely not. I've seen Jesse on so many Babysitter's Club book covers by Hodges Swallow, and that is not Jesse.
Okay.
So that is not what Jesse looks like.
A girl.
It's just a girl. But I think that is probably Quint.
And Quint. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the girl he said that he was thinking about asking to the dance.
Oh, yeah.
There it is. And so that makes sense because this is something that didn't happen in the book. They're hiding behind a case in a jewelry store. While a jewelry man shows a necklace to a smiling lady, and off in the background, a loser in a trench coat.
Why do you think he's a loser?
Because
he's leaving
like
without buying any jewelry.
He's like, if he's a jewel thief, he's like the most conspicuous jewel thief of all time. He's got like a trench coat and like one of those, I guess, hats that goes with a trench coat.
Like
he just looks so conspicuous and mysterious.
And he's holding what looks to be like a briefcase or something.
Yeah, and he's sneaking out.
They don't have criminals like these in Stony Brook.
What about the phantom phone caller, Dan? Sorry you're late to the party, but they actually do. The phantom phone caller is literally a jewel thief. So
also, Dan, how about this?
Yeah.
The fucking dog thief from last week, bud.
Yeah, what about the dog thief from last week, Dan?
That's a criminal like this in Stony Brook.
Yeah.
Stealing shit.
Yeah, thank you. And dogs are the jewels of our home.
Uh-huh.
As
my home.
Often said.
I was watching a video that you appeared in recently.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was watching the video recently. You did not appear in it recently. You appeared in it last summer.
Okay.
Where you traded pets with someone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I was looking in someone.
It was
at the major media
video
company.
Called Dog Person and Cat Person Switch Pets or something like that.
At the major media company I work at, someone had reposted it on a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I was given another watch again. And scrolled down to the comments, and there was hundreds and hundreds of comments.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, everyone loved your shirt.
What it was? Oh, it was a Babysitter's Club.
Everyone was like, check out this shirt. This guy's got the coolest shirt. Look at this cool shirt.
That's funny. Yeah.
But then I kept digging a little deeper, and one of the most downvoted comments, or one of the most, the one that got the most like angry faces, was this guy who was very, very much like, oh, I just don't get this fucking thing with like cat people and dog people. Like, can't we all just be people? It's so childish to say that like you're a cat person or you're a dog person. And I wanted to respond like, hey, bud, this is a bad take. Yeah.
But... No, this is not a good take.
Why did you watch the video and feel compelled to comment?
Yeah. Maybe that's why.
It's a good crusade. One day we'll all be able to understand each other. But until then, Tanner.
Hey, you know what, Jack?
What? Yeah.
Cat, dog. Someday we're all going to be...
Mincemeat?
Cog.
In the machine?
I was just trying to think of, you know how they say like, oh, black, white, someday we're all just going to be gray. As like
do
kind
they,
of like
do
a
they
fun.
Say that?
I've heard that.
Okay.
And then I'm thinking like, oh, well someday we'll all just kind of all worship one pet. It'll be called
Your Cog. Thing doesn't sound as comforting as I think you think it sounds.
Yeah. There's not going to be any boundaries between us. We'll all worship Cog. The every pet.
Dare to dream with that beautiful image in our mind of a shining future that we can all look forward to.
All hail Cog.
Tanner, will you describe this novel?
Oh, fuck. Uh-huh.
Okay, good. I can see that you prepared from the way that you're furiously typing. I guess you're just...
Pulling up
the.
I use DOS.
Wrote. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So everything is command.
So you have to write all those command prompts.
Yeah.
Actually, I can't remember any of the DOS prompts. I was gonna make some DOS jokes, but even I.
C dir. Gotta. Sorry. I saved my description on a floppy disk.
Can I tell you a DOS story?
I have to go into the A drive now.
I'll tell you a DOS story. Sorry to everyone who has no idea what the fuck this is because they were born like 30 or fewer years ago. When I was a boy and I used DOS, I once typed 123 into DOS and it like pulled up this like crazy screen with all these like columns and numbers and shit. And I honestly thought that I had hacked the planet. I was like so into it. I was like, Dad, I hacked the planet. Like, I'm in the mainframe. And that was just the command for numbers 123, which was like the old Excel. Literally in a spreadsheet. But anyway.
Did you know that teens these days are... I read this in an article and then later was talking to someone about it and they're like, yeah, I have a teenage sister and I asked her about this and she was like, no one does this. But I read something that teens these days communicate in Google Docs.
Oh, cool.
They'll like open a communal Google Doc and all type in it together at school.
That sounds so wholesome.
Yeah. It's also like a bad idea. Like you're keeping
lovely.
A record.
That's a good like... Reporter on Deadline has to make up a fake teen trend story.
When apparently they did.
They're all licking chapstick now.
Yeah. It's how they say what kind of sex they're into. The kind of chapstick they lick.
Oh, man. Did I tell you? Did I show you? I'm spinning now. Spinning like
I see
a,
it. You did show me
man.
And I ignored it earlier. And I now
oh, yeah, I noticed
that
you
wanted to go
it.
Back and hit it even harder. I've got a fidget spinner around here somewhere.
No, it's okay. Well, you know, nothing to say about it. There are not many tricks you can do with it.
Yeah, there are. Lots of tricks.
Okay. Like what?
You can pull out one of the counterweights.
Yeah.
Pop it out and try to spin it missing a counterweight. That's pretty fun.
Okay. Well,
are you doing it? Not,
no, I don't want to do that. I want you to describe this novel.
Okay. My DOS is done loading.
Okay, good. Great. Let's hear it. DOS jokes. DOS jokes. We
DOS
did DOS jokes. Wow, we really are. Have been at this a while.
Yeah.
Finally hit the DOS jokes portion of the podcast. Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Let's get that music going. Let's hear your description of Jesse and the Jewel Thieves.
Laid up in her friend Stacy's apartment, photojournalist Jesse Ramsey is confined to her tiny, sweltering courtyard apartment. To pass the time between visits from her boyfriend, Quint, and her other friend, Stacy, the binocular-wielding Jesse stares through the rear window of her apartment at the goings-on in the other apartments around her courtyard. As she watches, she assigns them such roles and characters as Miss Torso, a professional dancer with a healthy social life, or... Mm-hmm. Miss Lonely Hearts, a middle-aged woman who entertains non-existent gentlemen callers. Of particular interest is seemingly mild-mannered traveling salespeople, Red and Frank. Traveling salesperson, Red, who is saddled with a nagging invalid friend named Frank. One afternoon, Frank pulls down his window shade, and Red's incessant brays come to a sudden halt. Out of boredom, Jesse casually concocts a scenario in which Frank has stolen jewels with Red and disposed of the... and that's it. And that's what they've done. The trouble is, Jesse's musings might just happen to be the truth. One of Alfred Hitchcock's very best efforts... what's the name of the book?
Rear Window?
Jesse and the Jewel Thieves is a crackling suspense film, that book, that also ranks with Michael Powell's Peeping Tom, 1960, as one of Anna Martin's... Oh, I said Alfred Hitchcock before. Anna Martin's books, most trenchant dissections of voyeurism.
It is true.
As in Anne's book, the protagonist is a seemingly ordinary man, woman, girl, who gets herself in trouble for her secret desires.
Okay. Jesse.
Babysitter's Club, Mystery, Number 8, Jesse and the Jewel Thieves.
Okay, I'm not sure that even the suspenseful music that I'm going to stick under there is going to fully save that description.
Right.
But we'll do our best.
This was a particularly long Rotten Tomatoes movie synopsis. And I do want to give credit where credit is due. Hat tip, Hal Erickson from Rovi. Reviewed this novel alongside me. Yep.
Good. Classic. A lot of it is true. I solved the mystery immediately.
Me too.
Yeah.
Also, the mystery was like, this was not a mystery book.
This was not a mystery. The mystery was...
And Anne, what you did was you wrote a Babysitter's Club book.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit.
Oops.
We accidentally just wrote a Babysitter's Club book. What do we do? Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, maybe put like, honestly, 4 mentions of this very vague and easy to solve mystery.
Yeah.
And we'll just call it a mystery book.
Yeah.
Here's what I think happened.
Yeah.
They wrote a Babysitter's Club book.
Right.
About Quint and Jesse breaking up.
Right.
And then they went back to Scholastic, and Scholastic's like, this is good, but we need to sell more mysteries. So let's hook them, these rube preteen girls, let's hook them and us by inserting a vague mystery subplot into this one and calling it a mystery, and then they'll have to buy all the mysteries too because they are worried that they'll miss out on important plot details like Jesse and Quint breaking up.
It is true. It is fairly important. What about if I describe this novel, and then we can kind of dive into the heart of this thing.
Okay.
Pull it apart.
Pull apart the heart?
No.
Pull apart its heart?
Pull apart the thing. We have each separately dived into the heart of the thing, and now we're pulling it apart.
From the inside out.
Yes.
Like Ant-Man.
A lot like Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Like Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes.
Okay. You're the Wasp.
I like that.
I'm Ant-Man. We're pulling this thing apart.
I like that. She's way better.
She is.
He's like a bumbling goof, and she's like a competent like martial arts superstar.
Yeah, that doesn't quite fit with our dynamic, but that's where we are. Tanner, do you have a mysterious clock?
Oh, shit.
That you could put 60 seconds on?
Gosh, you just keep reminding me of things, huh? 60 second a burger run.
Excuse me?
60 no. second burger run.
Yeah, it's got to be a mysterious clock.
60 second timer?
No, because I finally have sound effects for these, because it's a very mysterious like, old-timey grandfather clock. Okay. Okay, Jessie is going to New York, the big city. Bright lights in the big city. She's going to stay with Stacey McGill. The reason she's going is because she wants to see Quint, her on-again, off-again boyfriend, whom she has kissed once, perform at Juilliard. She goes to stay with
Spike,
Stacy, and Quint, and while she's at Quint's house, they look through the rear window, and what they see is two guys, these guys called Red and Frank, arguing with each other about a heist. Like, ah, oh, we're going to get the jewels, see?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, fuck, these are jewel thieves.
Right.
And so they spend the rest of their trip in New York, like, following these jewel thieves around. But it turns out that they were just actors. Meanwhile, Becca got left at home, and that's the B plot, and she's having trouble adjusting, staying at the Pike's house. But eventually Marianne persuades her that it's not that bad, and then Jesse tells Quint that she doesn't love him anymore. The end.
Time up. Time up. Not time out. Time up.
Nailed it. They were actors the whole time.
Actors.
And it's revealed because they overhear these people a lot.
Yeah.
And they, like, see them all around. Like, one of them shows up at Quint's
recital
performance.
Right. They see them, like, at, they, like, see them in, like, Central Park, and they, like, follow them into, it's kind of the shopping district.
Yeah.
Madison Avenue.
And they go into a lot. They go into and comment on a number of different jewelry stores and a jewelry, Russian jewelry exhibit at the Met.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So these actors are very interested in jewelry.
They seem like interesting people.
Yeah, they seem like very interesting people. And I think they're
assume
must be lovers.
They're lovers.
Yes.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad we both locked in on that.
They, like, live together, and they go everywhere together and, like, go shopping together and stuff.
And they're,
like, they're clearly lovers. But, like, they live such rich lives. They're, like, wandering around Central Park and going to the Met and, like, going shopping in Madison Avenue and, like, doing all this other stuff. And it's like, fuck, I've lived in New York, like, 10 years. I've never gone jewel shopping.
No, I haven't even gone once. Frank and Red are the true heroes of the story and, in fact, of all of the Babysitter's Club mysteries.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Also, you know what the other thing is, Jack?
Mm-hmm.
I've lived in New York 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've never run into anyone more than once.
No. No, that's a very good point.
I wouldn't say live in my neighborhood. I guess these people do live right across the street from Quint.
But not in, like, Central fucking Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, later at Juilliard. Or actually, no, it's the Lincoln Center, I think, is the performance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tanner, let
me
ask you.
Juilliard. By the way,
let me ask.
I know you're not from New York, but they actually are kind of in the same group of buildings.
I know where they are.
So, actually, I have a friend who went to Juilliard. He actually taught there. His name is Gus.
It's my friend.
Yeah.
Hi, Gus. He's a longtime listener.
He didn't teach there. Sorry, he was like a tech.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, Gus.
And he's my friend.
And he's my friend as well. And was my friend first. Tanner, let me ask you this question in relation to what we were just talking about, not Gus.
Where did we meet? Funny you should ask. We were interns together at a major media company about 10 years ago.
Yes, because I used nepotism to get my friend Gus to become an intern at the major media company, so therefore I was friends with Gus first. We have to move on to this question. It's pretty interesting.
Okay.
This novel is called Jesse and the Jewel Thieves.
Yes.
Is it not? Is it not, sir?
It is.
I submit to you that it's called Jesse and the Jewel Thieves.
We can't do court stuff. We just can't.
No,
do
no,
court
no.
Stuff.
I know. No, no, no. I'm just speaking.
Because if you get me on it,
no,
just,
I hear
that's
that.
A train I'm not going to be able to get off.
I hear that. I hear that. So we won't. I strike it from the record.
Oh boy.
Okay. The book is called.
Feel it. I feel it rising in me like a hot poker trying to get out from within.
Listen.
Yes.
The book is called Jesse and the Jewel Thieves.
It is.
And yet, Tanner, Frank and Red are, they're many things. They're lovers. They are
sophisticates.
They are art lovers. They are actors.
They're wealthy.
They are two of the brightest lights in the shining city of New York.
Yeah.
But they are not, Tanner, jewel thieves.
No.
So, who is?
Maybe it's the phantom phone caller again.
It could be.
Because we have one confirmed jewel thief.
Yeah. Phantom phone caller.
Yes, in the Babyverse.
Okay, so phantom phone caller, that's a good one. Here's one that I think it might be. Let me read you this passage, Tanner. Frank and Red continued to stroll for a couple of minutes, and then they stopped short at another set of windows. I looked at the name of the store. Heath and Sons. Jewelers, I said. Wow, do you think they're planning to rob Heath's?
Quint shrugged. There's a lot of great jewelry inside, from what I've heard, he said.
Mm.
Now, what kind of person would say and hear something like that?
Right.
Is it Quint is having a conversation. Quint is talking to his other friends at Juilliard about the great jewelry in Heath's.
What's Heath's is it called?
Heath's.
Yeah.
That sounds like something a jewel thief would say. Is
right.
it not?
Well, I think I can actually kind of back this up too.
Yeah.
If I may.
Please.
Come on, I said. I marched towards the door that Frank and Red had just entered and opened it up. Quint followed me inside. Awesome, he said, looking around. There was a kind of hush in the store. Even though it was crowded, it had a certain smell, like all kinds of expensive perfumes mixed together. May I help you? Asked a man, stepping from behind a counter. He gave us a funny look, as if he wondered why two kids our age would even be here. Uh-uh, said Quint. He sounded nervous. He couldn't think of anything to say, and neither could I. A security guard approached us and stood next to the first man. Okay, kids, where are your parents? He asked. We better go, said Quint.
Highly suspicious.
Highly suspicious, and these guys, like, saw Quint come in.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we know this guy.
We know who this is.
Yeah. The police don't have enough evidence to, like, convict him.
Right.
But, like, we know Quint Walters.
So one possibility for the jewel thieves is that it is Quint and the phantom phone caller. That's possible.
Yes.
Well, actually, my second one that I've written down is also Quint.
Okay.
Well, just because he's trying to steal Jesse's heart, which is the true jewel of the
show. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do you think?
Yep. It turns out that the jewels were the friendships we made along the way.
Yeah.
All along.
The hearts of the girls that we
the hearts of the girls that we went that we Ant-Man'd into and exploded out of.
Yeah. And I guess the only other one I could think of was time itself, which is stealing the precious jewel that is these girls' youth and innocence in
themselves. But you know what else time does?
They're growing up so fast.
You know what else time does? Forges jewels.
That's true.
The heat and time and pressure. So
not time. Okay. So we've got, let's recap here. We've got phantom phone caller.
Yep.
Quint. And Quint stealing Jesse's heart.
Yep.
And Ant-Man. Anyone else? And Ant-Man. So it's actually a lot of jewel thieves in this novel.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Ellen. I'm going to let her off the hook. Tanner, would you like to do Poetry Corner?
Uh-huh.
Great.
Well, how do we do it?
It's a new segment. It's called Poetry Corner.
Okay, how do you introduce it? Tricky to introduce Poetry Corner when all of the segment introductions right now are poetry.
Yeah.
I'm interested to watch you thread this needle.
Do you celebrate or are you a mourner? I don't care because it's Poetry Corner.
Okay, that was actually pretty fucking good.
Thank you. Vanessa Tanner.
Vanessa had some very...
Wrote her... First good poems
this week.
First good poem. We've been listening to Vanessa's fucking poetry for...
4 years?
4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never been good. And then she just comes out with a fucking banger.
It's a really good poem. Well, it's the beginning of a really good poem, and I wish there were more in the book.
It's fucking great. Shall I read it to you?
Yes.
Vanessa was wandering among the tulips, composing an ode to spring. How fair their little faces are, the flowers of the spring, she muttered to herself, turned up to catch the sunbeams that the elves and fairies bring. She smiled vaguely when Mel told her the poem sounded nice. Nice!
Nice. It sounds like a fucking, like,
sounds
Dylan
like a
Thomas poem.
Sounds like Christina Rossetti.
Oh, from Rosetti Stone, the interesting software.
No.
Because she's such a master of language. They're like, we're going to name it after her.
Yeah. No. Well, but doesn't it sound like a pre-Raphaelite?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
You're mocking me.
No.
Okay. I thought it was beautiful, and it's got elves and fairies in it. It creates a lot of questions in my mind.
Yeah.
Do the elves and fairies bring sunbeams, I guess?
That's what Vanessa asserts.
Yeah.
The elves and the fairies bring sunbeams to the flowers.
Yeah, that's why they turn their faces. It's honestly beautiful. It's a fucking masterpiece. It's Vanessa's greatest work.
Yeah.
If she continues in that... You know what it is? It's like Spencer. It's like the Fairy Queen. Edmund Spencer.
I don't know it. Obviously, you haven't read it? No.
You haven't read The Fairy Queen?
No, Jack. I haven't read The Fairy Queen. Read it to me now.
It's five books.
Read it to me.
It's five
books. It's all a poem?
Yeah.
It's a five-book poem?
Yeah, and in my English lit class in college, they said we only had to read the first two books, but I read all five anyway.
Of course you did, fucking dork.
It's good.
Dork God.
This has been Poetry Corner.
This has been Poetry Corner. I have a related segment, if we can, before we go on break. Or should we go on break and I'll do when we come back?
Let's hear
Let's tantalize Baby Nation.
Okay.
Right? Let's tease them a little bit. Ooh, Baby Nation.
Oh, what's this? What's he got?
I've got a related segment.
Uh-oh.
But you're going to have to wait for it.
Uh-oh.
It's delayed.
Yeah, he's hit pause. Goodbye.
Hi all, it's Jack here, and I am super excited to tell you about a new sponsor, the incredible family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. Unfortunately, Tanner is not able to be here for this ad read because he misread the brief, and I'm glad that he's reading the briefs at least, but he thought that he was being assigned on an actual secret mission to find out who really killed June's sister, Claire. Now, I've been enjoying immersing myself in a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance, and putting my detective skills to the test as I solve hundreds of puzzles whenever I have a free moment to play June's Journey, but Tanner has actually, and... this is a quote, booked myself passage on a steamship to New York, which, not to triangulate here, but that's a uniquely bad way to get there from Connecticut. And reading between the lines of the extremely cryptic letters he's been sending me, it sounds like he's making a real nuisance of himself, asking the other passengers questions about their luggage. June's Journey is a murder mystery game set in the Roaring Twenties about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner's Journey, according to the most recent note I got from him, is currently delayed due to what he describes as a miscommunication with the Coast Guard about what exactly a steamship license is. I hate to take sides, but I really feel like I would trust the Coast Guard on this one. Right now, I'm making my way through the adventure of the Hidden Distillery. I love looking for clues and customizing my estate while I'm on hold with some very angry people at a place I've never heard of called the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority. And you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey, and you can download it for free on iOS and Android. Okay, it looks like I'm going to have to go and pick him up.
Mystery. Often if I start speaking,
gratification.
You interrupt me. Okay, there we go.
Speaking of great poets, Jack.
You son of a bitch. Yep.
I have a segment that I want to bring up.
Okay.
And it's about a great poet.
Okay.
And a prolific author. Mm-hmm. And the way we introduce the segment is we do this. Okay.
O Tot, thou art sick. A very good burn that stings you so right. A knife that doth turn. It gets in your head, but oh, so soon it will cause me to call the burn unit.
So I want to read my burn to you now, if I may.
Please. It makes me a little nervous because there's technically only one burn in this book.
Okay.
But I'd like to hear yours.
Becca did manage to swallow some of the chocolate pudding we had for dessert, admitted Mal. Once I coaxed her into it, she giggled a little. Now, if only I could get her to sleep. Try Charlotte's Web, I suggested. Read a chapter aloud to her. That always works, I spoke quickly. After she hung up with me, Mal returned to her bedroom. She didn't tell Becca that I'd called, since she didn't want to excite her. It was getting late, Instead, she pulled out her well-worn copy of Charlotte's Web from the shelf and began to read. Becca listened for a while, but her eyelids immediately began to droop before Mal was even halfway through the first chapter. Like I said, it always works. My burn is on E.B. White.
Oh, wow. That is a deep, deep, deeply buried burn that you found in this.
My burn is on E.B. White for writing such a boring book that it puts children to sleep.
You hear that?
And he's also a very prolific poet.
Wow.
Yeah, he writes, Charlotte's Web is so boring and E.B. White is such a boring author that it's literally used to as a prescription for putting children to sleep, the most easily entertained human beings on the planet Earth.
Wow, take that, Elwin Brooks.
Take that, Elwin Brooks.
Yeah, that's what you say when you burn E.B. White real good.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Elwin. Did you want to call Mrs. White, your mother, for you to come pick you up? Because your butt hurts so much from the burn I did on it.
And because your mother works at the burn unit.
Yeah, and she probably works there. Because I think like back then,
yeah,
in like the whatever, like 1910s or whenever you were like really going at it, mm-hmm. like there were probably a lot of burn units.
Yeah.
Because people burn themselves all the time. Everything was made out of fucking wood.
Yeah.
And you guys just discovered electricity. So.
Yeah. Elwin is a great fucking name.
Elwin?
Elwin. E-L-W-Y-N.
It sounds like an elf name.
Yeah.
It sounds like Eowyn.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
She's a writer of Rohan.
Great burn. Nice find. I want to compliment you on your burn, Tanner, because this was a burn-light book.
There's one very obvious burn.
There's an obvious burn, and I think that's what I'm going to read.
Yeah.
But it looks like you dug a little deeper. You found something that Anne hid in there, like an IED. Just okay. Ready to... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good fun. That's a fun avenue of humor.
Yeah, sorry.
War tragedies.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay, let me read you the actual burn that Ellen was like, fine, I'll put a single burn in this book.
I found another burn that you missed, too.
Okay, well, let me read mine. Then you can read yours. Honey, come look at Jesse, she called. Mr. Walter walked into the living room with Morgan and Tyler behind him. You look lovely, he said. You look like a princess, said Morgan breathlessly. I guess I should do that a little bit more breathlessly.
Like you're out of breath.
You look like a princess,
yeah,
said Morgan breathlessly. I felt a little uncomfortable. Here were the Walters acting warm and friendly toward this person they thought was their son's girlfriend. And here I was ready to break up with him, I guess. I blushed. You look very nice, too, I said. Morgan, I love your party shoes. She spun around on her toes. I'm a princess, too, she announced.
I guess she caught her breath.
Yeah, at this point she has. Tyler snorted. Right, he said. Princess pest.
Nice. Hell yeah. Does that mean she's princess of pests? No, because like Princess Diana was not princess of Diana's.
Well, technically she was. Yeah.
Well, but English Diana's.
Yeah, yeah.
Princess, and I guess Canadian.
So presumably Diana was just a nickname, like a shortened version of her actual title, which was Princess of English and Canadian Diana's.
And maybe Australian? Is that still like a Commonwealth?
Princess of Commonwealth Diana's.
Yeah.
Princess of English and Commonwealth Diana's.
Yes.
And everyone else.
And in England and the
Commonwealth. In England and the Commonwealth.
Right.
Yeah. Shortened to, what if commonly you were shortened like, to Princess Diana.
What if you were like an American or like a Swedish Diana? Or like
nothing. That she ain't your princess.
Okay. So she's not prince. So
then she's your sweet. There's a Swedish princess who's probably your princess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Morgan, don't make me explain the fucking monarchy to
no,
you.
No, no, no. And I wouldn't. And that's
it's my heritage.
So the Morgan is not the princess of all pests, but just like the pests who
she's a princess Commonwealth pest. She's a she is a princess pest.
So she just she's a pest to princesses.
She's so good at being a pest that she has risen amongst their ranks.
Right.
Oh, or she's like, a pest to princesses.
Or she's a pest to princesses. Like, should princesses go to like make cookies?
Yeah.
And they open up their sack of flour.
Yeah.
and there's like a bunch of Morgans in there, and they're like, ah, fuck.
Let me stop you though, because I feel like a princess would have someone make cookies for them.
That's true.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it doesn't work. It just falls apart because if you think about it, a princess would have servants.
Okay. Can I read you the other burn you missed? Because you're going to be so embarrassed you missed it.
Mm.
And this was actually a Burn Rich book, and you're just not a close reader, and the master has become the student.
Okay. Thanks for calling me at one time the master.
But now you're the student, and I'm the master. And okay. The student has also become the master.
Okay. So wait, hang on. You were the student.
I was the student, and you were the master, but now the student has become the master, and the master has become the student.
Did you really think of yourself as a student of my burns?
I woke up the next morning to the sound of rustling paper. I yawned and rubbed my eyes and looked over at Stacy, who was sitting cross-legged on her bed. Morning, what are you doing? I asked. Reading the Sunday New York Times, she said. It's kind of a New York tradition to spend Sunday morning this way. Can I have the funnies? I asked. She giggled. Sorry, no funnies. The Times is a serious paper. No funnies or horoscopes. Or Ann Landers. So what do you read in there? I asked.
That is a good burn. It's a burn on Ann Landers.
Aunt Stacy, but yeah, I like that it's a burn on Ann Landers.
It's a burn on Kathy.
Yeah.
It's a burn on Bloom County.
Yeah.
And also Doomsbury.
Like, Stacy, there's like still a crossword and shit. It's not like...
Yeah, fuck you, Stacy.
God, I hate Stacy.
And also, I'm fairly certain Ann Landers was syndicated in the New York Times.
Maybe not in 1990.
Possibly. That's a great burn. That's a classic. So, down with Ann Landers, down with Elwyn Brooks White, down with princesses, Princess Diana.
Student has become the master.
Student has become the master. I guess I'll read you a poem.
Oh, okay. That you did? That you wrote?
I think I did, actually.
Okay.
They walk in beauty, night and noon, these handsome men who do their worst, singing their beguiling tune. I find myself immersed in thirst, or as the youth say, hashtag swoon. With hashtag vapors, I've been cursed.
Ooh. This is
sexiest segment.
Our sexiest segment. It's the segment where we talk about the boys that made us horny. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Okay. Did you have one? Did you got one?
Yeah, I got one, but I think it's probably the same as yours, so I don't want to like.
Well, there are two parts of it.
Okay, so, I'll do the first part.
Okay, great.
I took a deep breath. Quint, I said, we need to talk about us. I had this funny feeling in the pit of my stomach, and my hand suddenly got sweaty.
About us?
Repeated Quint.
What do you mean?
Uh-oh. Now I had to follow through. Well, I said, I've really had a good time with you this weekend. In fact, I have a great time with you whenever we get together. But I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if...
If you want to be committed to being my girlfriend?
Quint said. Yes, I said, relieved. That's it exactly. I mean, I think we're kind of young for a long-distance relationship.
I've been thinking the same thing, replied Quint. But I didn't know how to talk to you about it. I never know what to do when there's a dance at school, for instance. Is it okay for me to ask another girl, or should I just not go?
I thought of Curtis. I went to a dance with another boy, I confessed, and I felt guilty about it.
Oh, Jesse,
Quint said. He gave me a sympathetic look. I hope we'll always be friends, too.
Me too, said Quint.
He took my hand.
Jesse, could I kiss you just once more? For old time's sake.
I blushed and nodded. Then Quint leaned over. Just as I was closing my eyes, I heard a car door slam.
My eyes popped open, and over Quint's shoulder I saw Frank and Red walking away from the cab.
Ooh. You brought us right there, Ellen. You brought us right there to the brink of it, and then you pulled it away.
You pulled it away from us.
Well, here's what I'm going to do, and this is good news for you and for the mystery babies. Quint is our hashtag swoon this week. He's very handsome. He's very nice. He gives her a sympathetic look. Jesse is stepping out on Quint. She admits it early on. I will say, here's a brief criticism I have of Quint before I move on.
Yeah.
Part of the passage that you read, I took a deep breath.
Quint, I said, we need to talk. About us. I had this funny feeling in the pit of my stomach. About us? Repeated Quint.
Manlier.
What do you mean? Sorry. About us?
Yeah.
Repeated Quint. What do you mean? What do you fucking think she means, Quint?
Yeah.
What do you fucking think she means?
Boys. That's... Am I right?
Yes, you are. And that's all. I just wanted to dwell on that for a little bit before I continue to compliment Quint. He's very hashtag swoon this week. He's very nice. He's very sympathetic, even though...
We almost got a kiss. We got so close to it.
So close. Jesse went to the dance with some guy called Curtis.
Yeah.
Not,
he's a pill. I don't know who he is.
A pill.
I don't like him.
I'm not excited about it. But we almost got a kiss. Fortunately, my hashtag swoon is the final scene with Quint. And so I'm going to take you all home now. Let's put that, get that music, crank that music back up again, Baby Nation. Don't worry. Don't be mad. You know we weren't going to leave you hanging. Here it is. Well, our mystery has been solved, I guess, I said. Can you believe it?
Maybe we'll see them on the TV sometime, he said. They sure are good actors. I believed every word they said.
You chicken-hearted, lily-livered, I said, imitating Frank's growly voice. Oh, shit.
You chicken-hearted, lily-livered, see?
Gravelly, not just your normal voice.
You chicken-hearted, lily-livered, I said, imitating Frank's growly voice.
We cracked up again. Well, I guess I better get going, I said. Want to walk me downstairs to catch a cab?
I'll be honored to, my dear,
said Quint in a fake English accent. He gave me a bow.
But first, he said in his normal voice, there's something I meant to do before. Can I do it now? He looked into my eyes. I felt a little shiver.
Quint is the first boy I ever kissed, so it seemed right for him to kiss me one last time now.
Sure, I said. I closed my eyes and leaned toward him.
The door burst open. Jesse, said Morgan, running into the room. Do you have to leave? We want you to stay, added Tyler, who had run in behind her. I looked at Quint, smiled, and shrugged. He shrugged, too, and smiled back at me.
Ugh, just blue balls in us this week, huh, Anne? We told you how horny we were.
Look, I'm sorry. I tried to get you a nice little kiss, everybody, and Alan wouldn't let us do it. But here we are.
Alan would let us do it. Jack.
Yeah.
Does Ed McGill work in a salt mine?
I thought he was a high-powered. No, I don't. High-powered something.
They never really said. They never really say in these books what he does.
Yeah.
But he says in this book, "Okay, kiddo," said Mr. McGill to Stacy. "I'm off to the salt mines. Have fun babysitting. We'll have dinner together, okay?" So,
okay, yeah,
it's pretty cut and dry, right?
Yeah,
he works probably in a salt mine.
Overseer, right? Does it say that he's I'm off into the salt mines?
No, he just said I'm off to the salt mines.
Right, so he's probably an overseer.
Here's what I thought: he probably works on a salt mine.
Yeah,
and then I thought that doesn't make much sense. He lives in New York City,
right?
Where is there a salt mine near New York City? It's a major metropolitan area.
Jersey.
Why wouldn't he just live in Jersey then?
Yeah, that seems, if you work in a salt mine in New Jersey, it seems dumb to go get an expensive apartment in Manhattan.
I can't imagine it pays very well.
Okay, yeah.
Then I thought, oh, it's probably a term of art or like a code word or a euphemism.
Okay, interesting. Meth.
Fact. I think he's a drug dealer.
Yep, there we go. Okay, so Ed McGill is Breaking Bad.
Yep.
I think that's almost certainly the case.
That's why he has
enough
money to afford living in Manhattan. Like
it's literally the only
Park.
Way. It's the only way, Mystery Babies. And if you're not from New York, you wouldn't know this. But if you want to live in Manhattan, like above, like any of the single digit number streets,
yeah,
you have to
or
sell
below any
meth.
Of the numbered streets below 200.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. You gotta sell drugs.
You got to sell drugs. And I think one cool way to refer to selling meth is by saying you're working in the salt mines.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Stacey was worried that he was going to spend the whole weekend doing it, but he only took a couple of extra hours. He loves his baby Boonsie.
Boonsie.
Yeah.
Boonsie says something that I have to admit that I liked a lot this week.
Yeah, that's Stacey's nickname that she's embarrassed about.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? I don't even want to begin to unpack what the meaning behind Boonsie is.
Boonsie.
Boonsie. Here's something Stacey says that I'm loathe to admit I actually secretly loved.
Stacey was fine in this novel. Well, she's a little bit difficult about the fucking New York Times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everywhere I looked, there was something to see, and I wanted to see it all. But I knew that if I looked in one direction, I'd miss something in the other. Stacey nudged me. "We're passing Bloomies," she said.
Okay.
Bloomies is what she calls Bloomingdale's.
You think that's cool?
Very cool.
Okay. All right. I guess you can use it. You're free to use it.
I can use it.
You can say it to Jamie.
Driving by with Jamie, I'll be like, "We're passing Bloomies."
Okay. Good. That's great.
You don't like it?
I think it's fine. It didn't. I'm not as down on Stacey as you are.
That's fun.
That is fun. Okay, I'll like it. I'll allow it. They also try to go to that store, the same store that Anne got her name from, the Screaming Mirror.
Oh yeah,
Mythology.
Mythology, but it's been replaced.
Closed down. It's been replaced. In a previous podcast we did, Anne used to put her epithets in there, and one of her main epithets was the Screaming Mirror. And they bring it up here in a sly nod to our podcast. I was trying to remember the name of that awesome store we went to last time. You know, the one where Claudia bought that mirror that screams when you look into it? Mythology, said Stacy. But guess what? Bad news. It closed a while ago. We should go to Think Big, though. You'd like that store. It has gigantic versions of everything.
That's it.
Do you think that Ellen Miles has ever been in stores?
I don't think she's ever been in stores or
she's
in
like,
New York City.
Anne's
she's
like, just like, Anne's like, one note for you, Ellen. I trust you, but you close Mythology and just replace it with some other store.
Right.
And Ellen's like, what's in stores? What's in stores?
This one just has...
It's the one where...
big things.
Everything's giant.
Everything's just big. It's like normal stuff, but everything's big.
It's called Think Big. No, Ellen.
Did you ever watch Doug?
It's a cartoon. No.
Yeah.
No, it's a cartoon with a guy called Doug. I haven't seen it. Everyone was into it.
Everyone was into it. It was very good, and he had this favorite band called the Beats, and one time he started a band, and he did a music video for a song called Think Big, and it was really good, and it was like a Talking Heads kind of thing. And B.B. Rogers, or whatever her name was, B.B. something, was like trying to hone in on his song, and she was like, think big, think big, think big. Big, and he was like, one little voice is calling me, calling. And he was like this Michael Jackson black and white thing, and this like Talking Heads big suit thing. Anyway, that's what it reminded me of. It's very good. This store is an unsustainable business model. There's no way it would have survived. It's 2019 now. Well, I live in New York, and I've never seen a store called Think
Big. You would have two big problems. First of all, everything that you got into the store would be like larger and harder to get.
Second
of all, everybody who came into the store would be like, this looks nice, but it's just too big.
Too big.
Like, this spoon is too big to eat with.
Yeah. Oh, Don Hertzfeldt.
Excuse me?
My spoon is too big. You're full of like fun references that you don't even know you're referencing tonight. No,
this is another Nickelodeon show?
No, it was like a series of online short form cartoons in the early 2000s.
Great.
My anus is bleeding. Do you remember that?
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah.
Here's the other problem.
Okay.
How are you supposed to get that home?
Yeah, you can't. It's too fucking big.
Too big.
It's too big. Don't think big.
Think small.
Think medium.
Think regular sized.
Think normal. That's a store. Now that's a store, Ellen. Think
what if we had things that were normal sized?
Yeah.
I would shop there.
Yeah. Actually, you'd probably be too big.
Yeah, I am pretty big.
Yeah, just like your boy, Tanner. The other fucking name for a location that Ellen comes up with this week is the restaurant that Ed takes the girls to. The Sign of the Dove.
Yeah. You sure it's not a real restaurant? Because he also does mention the Hard Rock Cafe.
Well, I looked it up. The Sign of the Dove, as far as I can tell, is the prearranged sign by which John the Baptist was to recognize the coming of the Messiah.
Okay.
Referenced in Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. It's not a restaurant in New York. Ellen is telling us that the promised one has finally arrived.
Right.
So we've got hidden jewel thieves. We've got a hidden messiah.
NewYorkTimes.com, archives, 1999, restaurants, semicolon, a reincarnated dove, comma, smaller but genuine, by William Grimes, November 24th, 1999. Some old restaurants fade away, others disappear in a flash. Sign of the Dove, for years, was one of Manhattan's most beloved dining spots, left in a cloud of dust last year, pulverized by a wrecking ball to make way for a high-rise. The hole it left in the landscape was more than physical.
Okay, well, so it's not biblical, but now we have a new mystery. Who pulverized the sign of the dove with a wrecking ball?
I'm reading more about it. It looked good. Oh, no. They had not just one foie gras dish, but two.
Let me ask you, Tanner, before we leave.
Oh, no, I'm nowhere near done leaving. I'm nowhere near ready to leave.
Okay, well, we've got 15 total minutes.
Well, I've got so many more segments to hit, Jack.
Okay.
Which one do you want me to prioritize? Okay, I know. Let me just look. Okay, I know which one I want to do. Okay. Okay. I don't know how to introduce this one, and I don't want to come up with a gothic poem to introduce it.
Oh, so when you do it, you don't have to?
Yeah. It's called Cool School.
Oh, yeah. See, here's what I think we can do, is we can fold it into the segment that I was going to do, the new segment.
Okay.
It's called Hard-Hitting Questions.
Okay.
And we can say,
whether you're clear or completely unwitting, these questions are going to be fairly hard-hitting.
You gotta go-to rhyme scheme, huh? Yeah, that you like, and yeah. That's, you just did it again.
Yeah, it's pentameter. But you can ask questions about whether this is cool. Those are most of my questions, or whether this is cool.
Okay.
So why don't you...
Is this a segment for Cool School?
It's called Hard Hitting Questions. And
but you could like is Ed McGill working the salt mine?
Oh yeah, that would have.
Is that part of Hard Hitting Questions?
Yeah, it should have been.
Mostly concerned with what's cool and what's not, though.
Okay, all right, let's do one called Cool School.
Okay, and
is
here's
this
how,
cool?
And here's the rhyme.
Okay.
Once upon a time, I wondered, like a fool, why we have to rhyme. But here we are. The school is cool.
Hey, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get you out. What do you say? Nah, man, I smoke weed. I smoke contract. You want a beat rocker?
Fucking nightmare.
And will you do the whole thing with that 90s drug PSA? Where it's like, I just try to get you high. It's like, I don't want to get high, fool.
No.
I want to burn boys like you on the basketball court.
No, that's too complicated. We used to use that PSA for our segment called Motion to Dismiss.
Oh, fuck, you're right. Okay.
So here we are. It's Cool School. So Cool School is a segment where we talk about what's cool and what isn't cool. You might say that we ask hard-hitting questions about whether something is cool or not. Tanner, what would you like to ask me?
Is this cool?
Yeah.
That was a wonderful lunch. Thanks, Dad, chimed Stacy. Thanks a lot, added Quint. Stacy's father had signaled for the check, and the waiter had brought it in a leather folder. Mr. McGill counted out bills and tucked them inside. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I wasn't sure you'd think harp music and little sandwiches were cool, but I guess if you wanted cool, you'd have chosen the Hard Rock Cafe.
Okay, no.
That's not cool.
No.
Sometimes they have things from like, Buckethead's guitar.
Not.
It's been, you can eat right by it.
Yeah.
You're in a booth and you're eating potato skins, and right next to you on the wall behind plexiglass is Buckethead's guitar.
Or, you know what's cool? Here's something cool that I thought of.
That guy from Good Charlotte, Benji, here's like a shirt he wore on tour.
Think about this. You go to the Hard Rock Cafe in New York.
Yeah.
But you and all your friends, you're not wearing Hard Rock Cafe New York t-shirts. You're wearing like Hard Rock Cafe Paris t-shirts.
Whoa.
Yeah.
To show how cultured you are.
Yeah. But I'm not. You know what I'm wearing?
What?
No Fear.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Because I'm not afraid to be different.
You know what I'm wearing?
What?
Planet Hollywood.
Oh!
Which is like Hard Rock Cafe, but for movies.
Oh, man. And I take off my No Fear shirt, and underneath it is a shirt that has, it's like about surfboards, but it's like a penis joke.
Oh, Big Johnson.
Yeah.
Like Big Johnson Surf Academy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Swells up to 6
okay.
feet.
Yeah, that's good.
Too blue. That one no. got a little bit too blue for you.
No, you're I like that one.
Okay.
No, that's great.
You're making me nervous.
You nailed it. The Big Johnson I remember is too blue to say on this podcast, so I won't.
Say it.
I won't.
Say it. It's a t-shirt that children wore, Jack. How blue could it be?
Okay, well, you have to bleep it.
Okay.
It's Big Johnson's Casinos, up front, in the rear.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Everything is bad. No. This is cool. So we took something that Ellen thought was cool and wasn't. Oh, let's go to the Hard Rock Cafe. And we made it cool with this cool cast of characters wearing yeah. kind of edgy shirts that aren't just like conforming Hard Rock yeah. Cafe shirts.
Mine is a guy. It's like a stick figure. And he's yeah. doing like a cool dance. And he's wearing like a Rasta hat.
Mm-hmm.
And it says underneath it, fucking grooving.
Oh, yeah. My yeah. one says peace frogs.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And it's like an important message.
Yeah.
You know? These frogs really are here for peace.
Yeah, if more people had fucking worn peace frogs and taken that message to heart, we wouldn't yeah. be in the mess that we're in today.
Yeah.
But I said I wasn't going to talk politics on this podcast, but here I am. We wouldn't that we
Pave
wouldn't
Paradise put up
mess.
A parking lot, am I
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Flock of doves.
Right. Seagulls?
No, the restaurant that Commander and Cheeto tore down and put a fucking casino up on top of.
There we go.
Loose slots, right? Am I right? Liquor in the front.
Okay, that's enough. Let me ask you, is this cool? Then, when you're ready to leave, Quint can put you in a cab back here. If you call me first, I'll be waiting outside for you. Oh, there's a cab. Stacy threw her arm up and a cab veered out of the stream of traffic and stopped beside us. I was impressed. Stacy is so cool, she's chilly. That's what my friends and I call anything that's mega cool. Hailing a cab. Cool, not cool, or mega cool?
Not cool. We all have fucking Lyft now and Uber. Like, who hails a cab?
Yeah, okay. It's hard to do in New York. You got to know what you're doing. You got to know that the light's on, you hail it. You look like a fucking idiot if it's not. That's the secret. Yeah. That's a secret that no one knows.
The light has to be on.
The light has to be on. And
Baby
not
Nation
going to Brooklyn.
Yeah. And not going to the airport.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you if this is cool.
Yes.
So how's Becca doing? I asked. Much better, said Mel. She and Marianne came back by around 8 last night, and Becca had ice cream with everyone else. Right now, she's eating pancakes. Her appetite is back, I guess, I said. Definitely. Want to talk to her? Mal put Becca on the phone. Hi, Jesse, said Becca. I'm having pancakes with ketchup on them. Byron told me it's good, and he was right. Is that cool?
It is cool.
Yeah.
I liked it, and I think it's a fun idea, and I like... I'm a bit of a foodie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like to kind of... I'm like an adventurous eater, you
yeah.
know? So this is interesting to me and something that I would like to try.
Yeah.
And it's vegan.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's eggs and pancakes.
Well, no, you can make them without...
Oh, okay. So you could try this.
Bisquick.
Oh, Bisquick.
Vegan.
Baby Nation.
Yeah.
Jack's.
Vegan tips from Jack.
Vegan culinary tips of the week.
Yeah.
Bisquick is vegan.
Is that cool? Yes.
Can you do that? Can that be recurring?
Jack's culinary tips of the week?
Yeah. Vegan Fuck culinary yes. tips of the week.
Put some nutritional yeast on it.
That can't be what you say every week. I know that's your go-to, but...
Is your raw seitan too bland? Put some nutritional yeast on it.
There's a new restaurant in our neighborhood on...
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Bleep that.
Yep.
Called... Yep. And it's mm-hmm. so fucking good.
Hell yeah. I'm so excited.
It's just... It's like vegan junk food.
I will move back to New York for that. Tanner, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yes!
Well, is there anything else you want to ask me if it's cool or not?
I'm pretty sure there's a new faction, the Dragons. There was a strike against the Patriarchy.
Don't list segments. If you want to talk
Jack
about
Jack is
one,
so horny I'll, right now. This one says...
I'll let you... If you want to talk about one
Jesse
of these
was talking about philosophy. Mm-hmm. There was a
Does she talk
negative.
About philosophy?
Yep.
No, don't and, list your notes. There's something you'd like to address with me. I'll give you a couple of minutes to raise it. I vote for the philosophy one.
Okay. I stood there looking at the scene for a moment. I get shivers whenever I see Lincoln Center, because dance and music seem so alive there. I mean, it's like the center of the universe for dancers and musicians. You know, I'm not always positive I want to be a ballerina when I grow up, but when I look at the Lincoln Center, I feel there's nothing else I'd rather be. Just to see all the people flocking to the theaters and concert halls, eager to listen and watch, makes being a ballerina seem very important. I mean, people need beauty in their lives, and ballet can certainly provide that. Wow, I'm getting philosophical here and a little off track. I just wanted to give you an idea of how exciting it is to be at the Lincoln Center.
Beauty is truth, truth, beauty. That is all.
Who said that?
Keats.
Teats?
Keats!
His name is Teats?
Keats.
So I thought when Jesse was getting philosophical, I wrote, my note that I captured was Jack is definitely horny about this because she's getting philosophical. And I know how horny you get about that.
I do, and I did, and thank you for bringing it up. There's dragons in this book.
Teats, huh?
No, it's Keats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keats.
People can be named whatever they want.
Okay, good. That's nice of you to say. What about if we leave?
Yep.
Mystery babies. I would like to thank you for having borne with us this week. Tanner, I would like to thank you especially for having borne with me this week.
If you're born, I'm born.
What?
It's from The Notebook.
Okay, it's not. Please take a moment, if you haven't yet, to go to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCCpodcast, and subscribe. We have done now 5 or 6, maybe more, 10 Little Sister big episodes, and they get better with every week. So what are you waiting for? You've got tons that you can listen to, and it's a great way to support us for just $5 a month.
And please subscribe to this show in iTunes and rate and review it as well while you're at it.
Yep.
And please buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch.
This week, Mystery Babies, we read a novel that was called Jesse and the Jewel Thieves, and the real thief is Time, who has taken so much from us already.
Yep, and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
And Quinn.
And Quinn.
Next week, we're going to be reading a little book called Christie and the Haunted Mansion. That sounds too scary.
Man, I hope that one's a mystery.
Yeah.
Unlike Ellen. This one.
Yeah.
Ellen.
Yeah, Ellen.
The mystery is effort that into it
wasn't
next
actually
week.
Haunted.
Yeah.
Ellen. No, but it does sound too scary, and maybe we'll skip it.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Don't you think? Too scary?
It sounds too scary. We'll skip it.
You make the call. I mean, we could skim it or have our wives read it and tell us if it's too scary.
I'll probably have one of my boys read it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe your boy will be born by that point. And see if it scares him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love him reading before he leaves the hospital.
Babysitter's Club books?
Yeah. Just anything. I just want him at, let's not get too crazy. Let's say like a first grade reading level.
Yeah, okay. Maybe a little
by sister. The time he leaves the hospital.
Yeah. Well,
I think I can get him there.
With that big head of his, I'm sure it won't be a problem.
Full of brains.
There we go. Next week, we're going to be reading a little novel called Christie and the Haunted Mansion. I Goodbye. Have been Jack Shepherd.
I'm Tanner Greenring.
Claudia's wearing a bra now. And the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been.
That can't be the outro for this one.
Who knows? I can't remember.
We probably have one. Sorry, Baby Nation.
Good night.
Mystery. We told you how horny we were, and now you're just not letting us.
No, Tanner, you had the whole passage to think of how you were going to. No, I swear to God, if you don't cut that out.
Can I just bleep it?
No.
You want me to cut it out?
Yeah.
Okay. How much of it? All of it? The blue ball stuff too?
You can just about leave that.
Yeah. But you don't want me to do the stuff.
No, I don't want to.
And you don't. It's okay. It's not okay just to bleep it.
Ever on this podcast. No.
Okay. Even bleeped.
Even bleeped.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Probably going to leave it in.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.